Santa, WGN, Monday afternoon, 2:53 is the time. Earlier in the show, we were talking about this. We were talking about this new police board, or it's not really, it's a community board that will oversee the department's use of force policies. Big announcement from the mayor, the police superintendent. It includes the committee, I should call it. It's residents, students, lawyers, advocates, and elected officials. Deputy Chief Ernest Cato, veteran of the Chicago Police Department, was part of that, too. He's going to be the co-chair of the committee, alongside an activist, Ariwa Karen Winters, whose nephew, Pierre Lowry, was killed by police. So it's a diverse board with an idea of having community voices be heard when considering use of force. It was announced earlier, and Alderman Chris Taliaferro of the 29th Ward was out there for the announcement. Alderman, thanks for making time for us today, this afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me this afternoon.
All right, so what should we make of this? Is this a way to better include community voices? Because we already have the consent decree that is setting into a very detailed way what use of force should look like for the department. Is the intention to add to that or to add voices to that? What should we expect now that there is this new committee looking at police use of force?
Well, I think it's important to have that, you know, and that's a very serious component in any reform methods that you want to use, and that's making sure that you have a community force. And so it's important for the mayor to make sure the residents of the city of Chicago, be it the voice of activists or the voice of organizations, businesses, and community groups, that they be heard as well. And I like the mayor's plan, which has been in process and in progress for quite a while. We're having our inaugural meeting tomorrow, but it's important for not just me, but for the mayor also, to have that voice represented on this working group.
And do you think they'll add to the consent decree, that the one that already outlines what use of force should look like and how officers should get training in de-escalation techniques, in their weapons training, in learning about when is the appropriate use of force and defining what it is? It is laid out in a very detailed way. I guess I'm wondering, will you be review? I guess you can't review the federal consent decree because that's in place and a federal judge looks over it. Do you add to that? What happens?
I think the goal is to look and see what works for this city and what does not work. Policing, the concept of policing, and I've said this earlier, the concept of policing has not changed since the 1800s when police departments began to organize. But it's the techniques that are employed in trying to, hit your goal of effective policing. And so because that technique will always change, you do have to review use of force as well as other policing techniques over time. And I think 2017, which was the last time in which use of force was changed, it needs to be reviewed in light of what's going on across the country and what's going on in the city as well.
We have the power to change things. Is that part of what this committee will have?
Well, this committee will make recommendations to the Chicago Police Department. As you can see, Deputy Chief Ernest Cato is also a member of the working group. But this group, after 8 weeks, after a couple of months, will go back and make recommendations to the Chicago Police Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you keep us posted. Let us know what happens here, Alderman. These are times when it does feel important to hear from many voices, and that's, I think, the intent here is to make sure that people are heard and as changes are made. So I hope you, are you a former police officer? Did I get that? Did I hear that right?
I am, yes. I served the police department in the city for 23 years total.
So this is something that you care a lot about for a number of reasons, I'm sure. All right,
yes.
Alderman Chris, thank you. Alderman Chris Taliaferro from the 29th Ward. Thank you for calling in to the program today.
You are more than welcome, and you guys, as always, be safe.
All right, let's get to Sergeant Pete. Sergeant Pete, I know you were listening to the mayor unveil her citizen group of people who are now going to be looking at police use of force issues, and I know that you were not happy with what you heard. So if you please, we'll just keep it decent. Keep us within our regulations of our license, but tell us what you thought.
The deputy commissioner that was appointed, or whatever her title is going to be, was very radical. very critical of the department, stood there and raised her fist, cast aspersions on the police department. I just don't think that she made the impression that we want in this city to fix the city. Oh, when we had the walk and talk program, it was great. It was all, you know, interaction with the community and everything. But the one thing the mayor said at the beginning, she said that, you know, it's a two-way street. The community has to get involved with the police also. The community can't fear the police for the actions of very, very few. And the community can help the police. And Bobby Rush on Sunday said something that the police union is like the KKK. I mean, that's just way going out in left field. You said before you went to break, you know, the video that Bobby Rush had, he was shown for the police sitting there. Doesn't show who opened the door. Doesn't show who was there before. It doesn't show who was there after. It just shows the part that made the police officers look bad. I think that this whole thing is going to come out in the wash when everything is shown for what it actually is.
Well, I'll pick up on that. Hey, Sergeant Pete, let me pick up on that, because I would agree, after what I've learned over the weekend, that there is a big question about Congressman Rush and the way he portrayed this, and that they said the cops were trespassing. He's used that word multiple times in interviews he's been giving throughout the weekend. But who let them in? At first, it seemed as if it was burglarized to the point where those cops couldn't have gotten in, but now it's very clear somebody let them in. Somebody with a key to that office let them in. We don't see that piece of the video. That's not out there. Only the part where the cops are there. And then what was their assignment? The assignment, I'm told now, is they were supposed to protect that mall. Now, you could argue that's not the best place to do that for 4 to 5 hours when the world's on fire, to sit in that office. That seems like a bad use of police resources. But they were stationed and they were ordered to be at that mall where the office was. Isn't that right?
Right. If the apparent assignment was at 5401 South Wentworth in the strip center or the mall that was there, and anything that was near or close to it. So what they did, why they did it, how they did it, there's a lieutenant, two sergeants, the policeman. They're going to explain what happened and how it happened. And I'm sure that whatever the outcome of the investigation is by the police department, the proper amount of punishment or lack of punishment will be given. We can't just damn everything that was said and done. And you can't have people influencing or adding fuel to the fire or doing anything like that. And if you want a police board or a commission to oversee use of force, it was just done in 2015. So, yeah, you know, this woman said, oh, you know, her nephew was shot and this was shot. She didn't give any details. And if I understand right, her nephew had a gun and was fleeing. So,
yeah, I'd want to look into that a little more. I know that the important part here is that they want community voices and not just police voices to be part of this, part of the communication, part of the conversation on use of force, so that it feels there's more voices are heard. I can understand why you don't necessarily like hearing from a voice of someone who seems disrespectful of police, or maybe beyond distrusting, which is more understandable than somebody who is either, as you said, Congressman Rush calling them the KKK and saying all these kind of really things that inflame the situation rather than show that you really want to come from a point of making things better for the future. And I think that's in the mayor's heart.
One thing,
please.
Listen, my family was the victim of gang violence. My father, was murdered about 5 times in the head. I didn't end up, you know, picking up arms and protesting. You know, this poor Greek guy was assassinated by a Hispanic gang member from a gang. You know, I didn't go there. I did it my way. I went on the police department to make a difference. And I, you know, the guys that I work with and the people that I work with in my career, they're not racist. They're not haters. But that's all that's coming back at them, hate and race. You know, the guy in Georgia, that shot the guy with the taser, that's in Georgia. This isn't in Chicago. We shouldn't be held accountable for any other city or any other country with what their police do. If you want to do it, start fair, start right. Her
Sergeant
idea
Pete,
of the commission is good.
You're making excellent points here. Can you hang on for a minute or two here? Because we want to get to the news. We're going to take calls, 312-981-7200. And I do want to circle back on this. And I do want to say that we do want to show respect for our officers like you who have served this community and want to be part of the solution. And that's a big part of this conversation that needs to be said too here, as long along with George Floyd should not happen. Those kinds of things should not happen. We need to get better and do better in those instances and stop them from ever happening. Let's go back to this conversation. I want to hear from you, but we got to get to the news at the bottom of the hour. It's 1:34. Anna, back here, we're talking about this whole issue, a couple issues. One is some new information about the Congressman Bobby Rush's office, that video that was revealed last week, and the cops were lounging around the office, up to 13 of them, for 4 to 5 hours while the city was being looted and violence was breaking out, and there were so many calls for service. Does it change your view at all to know that the officers were ordered to protect that mall? That was their assignment. Does it change your view at all to hear that Bobby Rush is saying, the congressman saying, they were trespassing, and yet somebody had to let them in? We're still trying to figure out who let them in, but that door doesn't open on its own. It wasn't burglarized to the point where you could just walk on in there. Somebody had to let them in. I don't know if that changes anything for you or not. I think there are still concerns about an assignment like that for 4 to 5 hours while so much was going on. I mean, I was listening to scanner traffic that night. I was thinking, gosh, it was alarming. It was frightening. It was just listening to one call after another. 10 ones, officer needs assistant, 10 one. There were all kinds of calls and people, you know, violence breaking out. We've seen the video. We know what was happening. And you wonder, why was this okay? It still doesn't make that right. I'm going to try to understand a little more about why. Try to understand a little more, and that's what we're trying to do. Sergeant Pete, we'll go back to you again. You were making some excellent points before we had to pause there. And we do want to hear from you on this, 312-981-7200. Your thoughts about the police video and what we've learned about that, and your thoughts also about this new citizen board that's going to start working hand in hand about developing use of force techniques and policies and see what should be tolerated within the department. You're not opposed to the idea of this board, are you, Sergeant Pete, or is it kind of some of the people on that board that are the concern for you, is what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So far, my problem was with that woman. And, you know, my question is this. Academics, all the and social works and all this philosophy stuff, I'm not promoting myself for this, but I'm saying, why not have a guy that was 38 years on the police department, worked in the IED, disciplined police officers, fired police officers, sent police officers to jail, but also knows the other side of being a victim? Those are the people that need to be on. You need people from the African-American community and the Hispanic community that were street people, that know how to interact and talk with people. I think that's the kind of people, not some woman that went to Cordon Bleu school and then comes out as an activist. My Facebook lit up. This woman just really set that press conference in a bad tone after the mayor tried to do and Brown tried to do a good job.
Yeah, I think the idea here is that they want activists to be part of this. They want more voices to be heard. And I'm sure those voices are hard for police officers to hear. But I think that the mayor specifically made sure that it isn't just people who are friendly to police, that they wanted to have people who are really concerned about things. And
said it better and had a better approach and not have an agenda that was all negative from the beginning of her speech to the end of her speech. You know, maybe she got off on the wrong foot or got up on the wrong side of the bed and she just went off. That's not the type of person that police are going to like being on this commission.
Mm-hmm. Currently, we should even mention that Chicago is already seriously overhauling the use of force after the Laquan McDonald shooting. We have a federal consent decree that sets standards that are
huge job, right.
Federally enforced.
And I told you, they worked 23 straight days, 12, 14, 15 hours a day. Some worked 18 straight days. Some worked 15 straight days. Physically and mentally, you're exhausted with somebody getting in your face and threatening you and doing everything. And yet these officers, for the majority, for 99% of them, control themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Take some questions, because it's just an emotional thing for me. I just can't believe what happened.
I know. Let me just go through something first, and if you do have thoughts on it, we do want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. I can appreciate why it is emotional for you, Sergeant Pete, and your own personal experience, not just as a police officer, but with your own father being shot and killed. That is one of the drivers for you to go into policing. And so you think about some of the good men and women of CPD, how their badge is tarnished when these kinds of things happen, and that there's a path forward, and there's one that involves community input and involves so many things about how we need to do better. But let's look at the facts here in Chicago, because it's very different than it is in Minneapolis or Atlanta or so many other places. Right now, the consent decree says that at a minimum, officers have to receive annual training on use of force. They have to qualify for firearms every year. Every 2 years, they receive a refresher training on other weapons, chemical spray device, anything that they use. If you're certified to use tasers, they have to be recertified each year, the order states. Officers may use force that is objectively reasonable, necessary, proportional, under the totality of the circumstances. To remain in control during these intense confrontations, this is how it reads, the order says. Officers' use of deadly force, such as shooting someone, striking someone in the head or neck with a blunt weapon, or neck restraints, can only be used as a last resort, according to that order. And the test is imminent threat. So this has been looked at, and these are the rules here in Chicago. And I know they want to make sure people have a voice and feel like there's a seat at the table when it comes to these kinds of things. But it also feels as if Chicago is making these moves. And by the way, it's not the Chicago Police Department that gets to decide, oh yeah, it's fine, we're doing it. No, a federal judge decides you're doing it. They're in charge. So those sorts of things are already in the works, including de-escalation techniques. And the other thing I'm hearing from the superintendent, as soon as he came in the door, not as a reaction to this, but as soon as he came in the door, he was talking about how every societal failure we put off onto the cops, it falls into their hands. And police were never meant to solve so many of these problems. That if you find someone who needs a place to sleep, if they're homeless, you send the cops. You have someone suffering from mental illness, you send the cops. If there's trouble with drugs, you send in the police. And it goes beyond that. I mean, everything from smaller things like loose dogs and loud neighbors and people just, you know, getting into it, hanging out in public, you know, dispersing crowds, things like that. All the daily work of police officers. And you wonder, you wonder at what point the superintendent was saying, hey, we need mental health teams that assist our officers. Let's go to Pat. You're on WGN. Pat, your thoughts on, join into the conversation here. What you thinking?
My thing is about that thing with Bobby Rush.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were saying it happened on June 1st. You know, and they were talking about all the looting, but all the looting, I believe, was done that day on June 1st.
Yeah, it was between 1 and 5 in the morning, is my understanding, roughly. So while some of the looting was over, I don't know about that particular mall. So you're absolutely right. I don't know. But I just know in general across the city, buildings that had been looted were being re-looted. I mean, I remember seeing live shots on television in the morning at 6, 7 a.m. and people were going back into Macy's. They were going back into looted buildings all across the city. It certainly seemed as if there was, generally, I can't speak specifically, but generally a need for some sort of police protection.
Yeah, and I believe, you know, they do have to take a downtime, so they do have to take a personal or something. So, you know, I think, you know, what people are making of that situation is worse.
Are you feeling like the stress of the police and that kind of thing, you sort of feel like when they're working that hard, they needed some downtime, even at that moment, though?
Yes.
Even at that moment?
Yeah. You know, if nothing was going on, you know. And then, like you said, with stuff in Atlanta, that's happening in Atlanta. It's not happening here. Why blame the Chicago police here? that's, you know, what happened in other cities. And I just wanted to say, Sergeant Pete, I worked for him in traffic, and he was a great sergeant.
That's awesome.
I was a traffic aide, and he was a great sergeant. He
were you in District 24?
Everyone,
or which part of the city?
No, in loop traffic.
Wow.
And he treated everyone fairly well.
Fairly well.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks.
He was very good.
Thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. How about that, Sergeant Pete? That doesn't surprise me about you at all. Let's go to Stan. Stan, you're on WGN. Weigh in. You got thoughts about this? Get into the conversation here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, how you doing, Anna?
All
how
right.
You doing, Sergeant Pete? I heard Sergeant Pete say something about what happened in Atlanta didn't happen here in Chicago. And understandable. That's understandable. But when Laquan McDonald was shot here, that didn't happen in Atlanta either, but it happened in Chicago. What happened with John Birch happened here in Chicago. It didn't happen in Atlanta. So don't give me this about it didn't happen. And what happened down there in Atlanta didn't happen this year in Chicago. It happened all over. And you guys still trying to make excuses for these cops sitting in Bobby Rinsky's office. 13 of them. Or how many of them? He's still making excuses. He don't need a downtime. What do you need this? You guys really don't know any more than we know. So don't make excuses for me until it all comes out.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know if I'm making excuses. All I'm saying is the thing that changed for me is they didn't trespass and bust in there and sign themselves to hide out there.
Yeah, they were there.
It sounds
they
as if they were stationed there. They were ordered to be there. Now is that a wise use
by
of resources?
Who?
No.
By who?
That is
by
the
who?
Word from the police department that they were ordered to protect that mall. Now, is that a good place to protect
word,
that mall from?
No. The word from the police department. See, we know what the police will do. The police protect the police. So don't tell me what the police department said because until the investigation comes out. Because the police department protects the police department. So we can't say, oh, the police, and we're supposed to go by that. No. I'm sorry that your father was killed. There's a lot of people that's killed by police officers, too, family members. They didn't go out and riot. Just because you didn't do it, yet, don't make it seem like you didn't do it. There's other people whose parents, loved ones were killed by police officers. They didn't go out and riot. So it's nothing. There's nothing new than anyone else.
Right. There's a very clear way to figure this out. There's a dispatch report, and that will ultimately prove what their actual assignment was. And Stan, I wasn't trying to say that what they were doing was right. I said that this doesn't look right in the grand scheme of things.
I listen to you every day, and I listen to what you do, and I listen to when you constantly trying to take up for the police officers. I hear it in jail, I just don't understand it, though, but you're constantly trying to take up for them. It's understandable.
Else about me. Here's something else maybe you don't know about me. I was an investigative journalist in this town for a long time, and one of the things I did was expose police officers, the bad ones, and I did it year after year after year. Detective Guevara, go look him up. I did multiple reports when nobody was talking about him, multiple reports about how he was taking false confessions and putting black and brown people away. I heard from different family members who came to me, didn't know each other, and they had the same story over and over. He wrote that confession that my brother, my son did not say that, and I exposed them. I exposed him, and I kept wondering, why is it nobody's doing anything? I got all these awards from my reports. I thought, well, that's going to, the ABA says that this guy is doing stuff that's bad. Everybody's looking at it, and nothing happened. I appreciate that, and I know I'm not a person of color, so I can't speak to experience that experience, but what I can say is I do know the history of there being bad things and bad cover-ups and accountability issues in this police department. Now, Detective Guevara, look it up. He has cost this city millions and millions and millions of dollars because of wrongful police abuse issues. That is a fact, and he's not the only one. We know that. There's Byrd, you mentioned, and there are so many others. So what I'm trying to say here is that don't turn this around the entire other way and say that the good men and women in the police department don't want to be a part of the solution, because they do.
No one's saying that. But we know one thing, Anna. They know what happens when the police officers do things and they cover it up.
That's my point.
We know that.
We agree on that.
We know that when Laquan McDonald was shot, which one of them police officers actually came out and said the truth?
I agree with that. Absolutely.
How many of them was?
Well, without that video, again, another example of that. Without that video, We know what would have happened there. We know that.
That's what I'm saying. That's
the point.
Trying to make it look like, well, we just got one bad police officer, and there's just one. There's just one. Oh, it's just a couple. And then we start saying, well, how many was there at this time? How many was there at this time? How many reported it? Well, none of them reported. Or they really make a story, or they, when they come down back to the office and write their report, it has nothing to do. When you see the video or something, they all lied. They all didn't tell the truth. So I'm not against the police officers, but I just don't like when you have bad ones and people take up for them, and then we see the police officers take up for police officers.
I hear you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you calling in. It's an important perspective to hear. We have to pause here. We want to take more of your calls on the other side here, and all perspectives are welcome on this show. You tell us how you're feeling. Tell us what you think about it. There are no easy solutions here. There are no easy answers, and this is going to require the entire community to weigh in and want to be part of this solution. I totally agree with that. I think Stan is right that when he says that there's no video, and when you see these kinds of things happen, you can't cover up for them, because that's been historically part of the problem. I would say Sergeant Pete has been trying to out bad police officers in his work in internal affairs, and I have done that as an investigative journalist in this town. It's not enough, clearly, because we're at this point where we need to do more. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to continue the show here on WGN with me, Anna D, 312-981-7200. That's how you reach us. It's me, Anna D, way into the conversation here. We got a lot to talk about. If you haven't heard already what we've been speaking about, it's the whole issue of police reform, really. I mean, I think it all falls under the umbrella of that. So weigh in with your thoughts on it. 312-981-7200. It's 151. I got to tell you this. Then we're going to go to the phones. So call us with your thoughts. Riverside Healthcare puts well within reach. Riverside provides expert care in 5 counties, and Watson Health has named Riverside 100 top hospital 10 times. Featuring some of the state's most advanced technology, Riverside serves communities just south of the south suburbs with innovative programs in heart, brain, and spine, orthopedics, and cancer care. Riverside also offers access to a network of primary care and immediate care locations, including Frankfurt. Download the Riverside app for locations and wait times. Learn more at riversidehealthcare.org. Riverside Health, putting well within reach. Let's go to the phones here. Again, the number where you can weigh into this conversation, 312-981-7200. We'd sure like to hear from you. John, go ahead. You're on WGN. You've been listening to this talk, this discussion. What do you think?
Hey, Anna, this is the first time on the call, and I just wanted to just commend what's going on. I think there's a lot of great reform that's being done, even not now. It has been going on with how do we police not only the city of Chicago, but even the suburbs, and I believe everyone's going through that type of reform for best practices. At the same time, I think what we need to do, too, is how do we continue to inform the community of ways to preventing resisting of arrest, because if all these situations that have currently happened, if there was no resist of arrest, we wouldn't have any deaths today, and we wouldn't be having these conversations. So I think there's a point in which we need to educate the communities of, don't put yourself in the situation, but if you are in the wrongful situation, don't resist arrest, and it'll all come out, injustice right.
You're talking the Atlanta case in particular. John Rayshard Brooks had a conversation with those officers for over a half an hour, it seemed, about different things. Was asked, will you take a drug test? He said, I don't want to be, I don't want to cause any problems. And they go, will you take a drug test, yes or no? And that's when he sort of ran. And the thinking is that he had other priors, and that a DUI, that if he had failed it, he might have gone back to prison. So he ran. Still doesn't justify knowing that officer, from what I'm hearing from other officers, would have known that he just grabbed the taser out of their hands and fled, and that wouldn't have warranted use of deadly force. What do you see there when you see that video?
Well,
and I appreciate your point, which is different.
When I saw the video, he's struggling with the officers. So right there, he's resisting any type of arrest or a situation that's occurring. So if he doesn't resist and he doesn't struggle with any of the officers, he's not dead today. Mm-hmm. He does see his children. So this is what I think the communities need to start understanding, or the education level has to, if you're accused of something or being at least, assessed for a situation, let that go through the process. And then we won't be going down these roads. similar to Minneapolis. If he doesn't, if he stays in the cop car and undergoes what is happening under the current circumstances, he's not dead today. So that's my point. Is I think the community has to be informed as well as educated of how to approach or how do we interact with the law enforcement when we are being, you know, if you know, are being detained for something we've done wrongful.
The whole discussion about use of force comes in the wake of that Atlanta situation because I think people are saying that was not deserving of a fatal shooting, two shots in the back, that there are other ways, so many other ways that could have been dealt with, including let him go. You already had his car. Yeah. You had his identity. You knew who he was, right? Lots of things that could have been done differently there, should have been done differently there. And so
I agree with that as well. You know, no one had, you know, he probably didn't have to pull the trigger there. So but that type of reform and education probably will be taken care of, I think, moving forward. I don't think this is not a black versus white type of discussions. This is all lives matter, just not black life matters. That's my perspective as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, thank you very much, John, for that. I think there's a lot of people who would disagree and say that there is racism in certain cops are committing absolute racist acts and that race does play a role in the whole thing. If you look at shootings overall, fatal shootings at the hands of police, and those are both justified and non-justified, 50% are white. You can talk about the reasons for that. It's disproportionate to the population, for sure. There's more than 50% of the population that's white. That's the fact behind it. And then you get to where the point where we are here, when there are so many videos that just seem so unjustified involving young black men. And that's why there's such a need for this type of reform. That's where we are. And that's why you just heard from the city that they have this new community police board. And you're hearing so many people weigh in on this issue because it's a tipping point. Something has to be done. Something has to change here. I don't know if we have a minute or two, Pete, because we can say something to Sergeant Pete. Do we have a second here? All right, go ahead. Just final thought here, Sergeant Pete.
I think that it boils down to the community and the police have to get together. And if the community wants to protect the bad actors or the drug dealers because they're supporting part of the community or paying bills for part of the community, whatever, people have to step up. And the respect that they give is the respect that they'll get. And if both sides can't get together and discuss this, you're just going to have this continual bickering and fighting between both sides. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sick.
Yeah, it makes a lot of us, I think, sad. I'm sad over it. But thank you, Sergeant Pete, and always appreciate your perspective on the show and everyone who's called in here. So thanks to everybody who participated.